daf is Shabbos daf Mem Aleph. We are holding on daf Mem Amid Beis. Today's daf discusses three basic topics. The first is just a continuation of what we've been talking about, lessons that we can derive about bathing from two. We have two additional stories about Moraim in today's daf, in addition to the stories we had in yesterday's daf that we're still not completely finished with, from which we derive several lessons about bathing. Then on the bottom of Amid Aleph, there's going to be a short Mishnah and Gemara about drinking from certain hot water utensils that are meant to keep the water hot, that have had their colds removed, if you're allowed to drink from these kelim on Shabbos or not. And then the rest of the daf is going to discuss the possible isurim involved in putting cold water into hot kelim that have been removed from the fire. What possible averos one may violate when they put cold water into hot kelim when the hot kelim are no longer on the fire. So let's finish up the bathing stuff first. We concluded yesterday with a story that Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi once went into bathhouse where Rebbe was bathing, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi wanted to warm up a jug of oil in the bathhouse, so he wanted to put it in the bath, but Rebbe told him, no, you have to put it in a klisheni, you can't put it directly into a bath. So he said there are a lot of lessons that we derived from that story. First lesson we derived is that even though we seem to have a machlokas tanoim on the issue whether shemen is yeshbo mishum bishul, whether oil is subject to bishul, we see from there that it is subject to bishul because he wouldn't allow him to put oil in a klirish. So apparently it is subject to bishul. Second thing we learned is that klisheni eino mevashel, that if you want to cook, klisheni does not have the ability to cook. That's why he said, even though you're not allowed to cook oil, put it in a klisheni and that'll be fine. Klisheni is not going to be mevashel. I pointed out at the very end yesterday, the Taz in Simen Reish Nun Ches and in the Simen Shin Yud Ches, Sivkat Yutes writes that when you stick a ladle into a pot, the ladle does not become a klisheni, it retains the status of a kli rishon. And one of his rayas is from this story, because he tells him, Tol b'klisheni v'tein, which makes it sound like you have to put it into a separate kli, not enough to just scoop out and put it into the scooper. You have to put it into a separate klisheni, and put the oil into that separate klisheni, because only when it's going into a brand new kli will the walls of the kli cool down the content. But if you're going to immerse the kli sheni into the kli rishon, so the kli sheni becomes just like the kli rishon. The heat of the wall, by the time you remove the food from the kli rishon, the walls of the kli sheni are already heated. Right? That's what we pointed out. Tosa says the difference between a kli rishon and a kli sheni is not so much in the heat, it's in the direction of the heat, that a kli sheni is already cooling. That's a question what Achronim discuss. What if you have preheated kelim? Sometimes a caterer will heat their kelim so that the kelim won't cool down the food. So are you going to say that a preheated kli doesn't have a din of a kli sheni? Or what about something that's meant dafka to retain heat, a thermos or something like that? So maybe one could argue that since the direction of the heat is not going down in such a klisheni, maybe you wouldn't have a din of a klisheni. Okay, the Gemara said, third lesson we learned from the story is hefshero zehu bishulo, that even warming it up, that's called bishul of the lukewarm water. And the fourth thing we learned is that even if you're saying a psak halacha, you're allowed to say it in a bathhouse, la afrushe me yisura, to stop someone else from doing an avera, you're allowed to say psak halacha in a bathhouse, even though normally we say kol makom mutar laharer chutz mibeis hamerchatz ubeis hakiseh. You're not allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah in a beis hamerchatz. The achronim wonder, why does it say kol? That's a very strange lashon. Kol makom mutar laharer chutz mibeis hamerchatz ubeis hakiseh. What it should say is Asu lahar beis hamerchatz beis hakiseh. Obviously, it's mutar lahar b'divrei Torah in a beis medrash or anywhere else. So why does it say kol makom mutar lahar chutz beis hamerchatz beis hakiseh? Shor Mitzion Balacha quotes from the Sefer Chodesh Ha'aviv based on the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Simon Pei Hei, where the Beis Yosef writes that when there isn't tinuv gomor, when it's not a completely dirty place, it's mutar lahari. You're allowed to think Torah thoughts, and you're allowed to think Torah thoughts in the bayis emtsai of the merchatz, in the middle room of the merchatz. So what it's telling us is that there are certain places that you might have thought that we should be limited in how much Torah we can think. doing. The middle room of the Merchatz, where not everyone is Omed Arum. So you might think, well, yeah, but it's still pretty disgusting to be thinking Torah there. No, Kol Makom outside of the Beis HaMerchatz, outside of the inner room of the Beis HaMerchatz, and outside of the Beis HaKisei, it's actually Mutu Laharher. There's a discussion also, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Gimel, discusses about what if it's laonse? What if a person can't help himself? He's constantly thinking about Torah. He was just involved in a sugya. So and he goes right into the bathhouse afterwards. So whether the Gemara has an expression laonse shiny, that if he can't control it, so then maybe it's different. Shumas Hadesh and Sim Mem Aleph says that it's yadua shemisha libo nivhal velahut laayin bepulpul alacha. Someone who is so engaged in Torah learning and is so involved and his mind is always preoccupied with Torah learning, it's very, very difficult for him to remove these thoughts, the Torah thoughts from his head, even when he goes into a base HaMerchatz. So the Shumas Tadeshin leaves it as a Tzorach Iyun. If a person is allowed to be nichnas into a base HaKisei, mitoch halacha shein psuka. If you recall, we had a Gemara in Brachos, so the Gemara said that you should always daven mitoch halacha psuka, that we don't want a person when he's davening to be distracted with Torah thoughts. He should be thinking about davening, he should be thinking about tefillah. So he should always, if he's going to learn before davening, he should always be halacha psuka, something clear cut, something direct. My halacha psuka, the Gemara said that benos Yisrael l'chmir alatzman. Remember that Gemara. So the idea that halacha she'ina psuka, when you have a halacha that involves analysis that gets your mind preoccupied, so that's going to be difficult to remove from your mind. So the Shumas Deshan leaves the Tzarachin if you're even allowed to go to the bathroom. The Gemara in Brachos says Chavdal and Beis, Talmud Chacham is not allowed to stand b'mavus ha'matunachos because it's e'efshar below ihurei Torah. He's not going to be able to control himself. So it sounds from there that he's not allowed to stand there. So from mitoch halacha shein psuka, perhaps one would say that it would be a problem to go into the Beis HaKisei. So that's the issue of the Har Beis HaMerchatz. And the final thing we learned from that story is that if you're Mevashel B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos, you're Chayiv. Because this story must have occurred where Rebbe was bathing in Chamei Tveria. Otherwise, how else was he allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos? It was obviously after we made a Gezerah that you're not allowed to bathe, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. But Chamei Tveria, remember we said at the end of the day, Chamei Tveria are still mutter. So still he said, you can't warm up this oil in the bath, even though it's a Chamei Tveria bath. Because if you're Mevashel B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos, you're gonna be Chayiv. That's the so we had asked four lines from the bottom. Vamar Rav Chista Mevashel B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos Potter, but didn't we learn the opposite? Didn't we learn that Rav Chista holds that if you're Mevashel B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos you're Potter? So he said, Ma Chayiv Nami Dekam Makas Mardos. Enochinami, when you cook oil in Chamei Tveria, it doesn't mean you're Chayiv Midaraisa. It means you're only Chayiv Makas Mardos. Really, you're Potter. It's not called Bishul Daraisa to cook in hot springs. Another Yehuda and Madura Tinyana, Mem Gimel discusses, why is that so? Why is it that if you cook something on Shabbos in Chamei Tveria, in naturally hot springs, why is that not called Bishul? So he says, it is not because it's Eino Doma L'Melechas HaMishkan. Meaning we'd be enticed to say, well, when it comes to Shabbos, it doesn't really depend on whether you are in fact cooking something or not. What it really depends on, is this similar to what was done in the Mishkan? They didn't have Chamei Tveria in the Mishkan. They didn't cook with Chamei Tveria in the Mishkan. Mela, it's not going to be included in the Yisur Bishul. No, the Bita says, that analysis would be inaccurate. And his Raya is that there are other halachos that relate to Bishul also outside of Hilchos Shabbos, where we also assume that cooking in Chamei Tveria is not called Bishul. If we're purely about relating to the Mishkan, then that would be purely a din in Hilchos Shabbos that being Mevashel B'Chamei Tveria is not called Bishul. But we find other areas of Bishul. For instance, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim on Daf Mem Aleph says that if you cook a Korban Pesach B'Chamei Tveria, you're not allowed to cook a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be tzliyesh, needs to be roasted. If one cooks a Korban Pesach in Chamei Tveria, Chayiv, because he violated Kiyum Sliyesh, he violated the Isser of cooking the Karban Pesach rather than roasting the Karban Pesach. The lav was Mishum. So that's what he's I'm sorry. Rashi explained, no, what does the Gemara say? He violated Kiyum Tzliyesh. And Rashi says, yeah, that's all he violated, that he didn't roast it. But you know what he didn't violate? cooking it. They're two separate Yisurim. There's an Yisur not to roast it, and an Yisur to, yes, cook it. He didn't violate the Yisur of cooking it. Why didn't he violate the Yisur of cooking it? Because apparently cooking in Chametveria is not called Bishul, even though he obviously didn't do right by the Korban Pesach, because he didn't roast it, but that's not called Bishul. It's not called cooking it. We also find the Rambam Paskins in Macholos Asuros Perek Tes. Let's say you cook Basar B'chalov in Chametveria. So the Rambam writes, Potter. Ay, you were Mvashal Basar B'chalov, Lusavashal Gadiba Chalev Imo, says three times, one for Nisr Achil, one for Nisr No, one for Nisr Bishal, you're not allowed to cook Basar B'chalov together. Rambam says, yeah, but this isn't Bishal. It's not called Bishal in Chametveria. So the reason that Bishal B'Shabbos in Chametveria is not called Bishal, the reason that your Potter can't be because it wasn't done in the Mishkan, because we see it relates to Basar B'chalov, it relates to Bishal of Korban Pesach. Rather, the reason is that the definition of Bishul is with Eish. And the Torah asks only when in the normal derech of Bishul. The normal derech of Bishul is only with Eish. It has nothing to do with what was actually done in the Mishkan. This is fundamental to the definition of the term Bishul. Okay, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Zreka, Anach Azizeh Rabbi Avod Deshot Ba'ambati, I saw Rabbi Zreka floating in the bath, V'leyadana I Akar I Lo Akar, but I don't know if he lifted his feet from the ground, or he didn't lift his feet from the ground, so I don't know if he was swimming or not, but it looked like he was floating in the bathtub. So, Pshita De Lo Akar, the Gemara says, well, I know, it has to be, it's obvious that he did not lift his feet from the ground, because D'Tanya Lo Yishot Adam B'Bricha Melei Amayim, V'afilu Amedes B'Chatzar, person is not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. He's not allowed to go swimming in a pool full of water, even if it's in a chatzar, it's in Rosh HaSiachid. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to go swimming. As Rashi says, the lekel lemigzor shemiyat is mayim baragel v'chutz liarbaamos. In a chatzar, there's no good reason to make a gzeira that maybe the water is going to splatter beyond four amos, and it's going to be some sort of Yisrael Tzah. It won't be any sort of Yisrael Tzah. He's completely in the chatzar. So you see that you're still not allowed to swim on Shabbos. So obviously, if you saw Rabbi Zreka swimming, he wasn't really swimming. So lo kasha, hadalas le gedude, hadis le gedude. Says the Gemara, no, maybe it makes a difference whether there's a rim around the pool or not. The les le gedude, says Rashi, she'in svasa gavoa, shira mayim amukim eitzel svasa, kimo be'emtsa, that the edge is not high enough up that the water would be as deep around the edges as it is in the middle. To kiven shein amukim sham kimati samach l'sfasa noe t'raglav bekarka v'chofer umemacha ha'ofer l'toch ha'mayim v'dami l'megabel. That since it's not so deep over there, when he gets close to the edge, he's going to dig his feet into the ground and he's going to dig in a little bit and mush up the dirt together with the water, and it's going to be like he's being megabel, like he's kneading the dirt together with the water. And says Rashi, but I think Pshat is that if it has a rim around it, then it's mutter. And if it has no rim around it, then it's like a nahar and it's aser. Meaning the iser is to swim in a river, really. So as long as the pool doesn't look like a river, doesn't seem like a river, it's going to be okay. So if it has a rim around it, has an edge around it, like a regular swimming pool, it's going to be mutter. There's a type of swimming pool, what do they call it? Where they have an infinity pool. Right, so if it's an infinity pool, it doesn't have a rim around it, so that's damil l'nahar, and that's going to be asir. Okay, vam Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says further, another maisa. Anach azisei the Rabbi Avohu. The Gemara, you know, we've been discussing issues relating to bathing, and the last story was Rabbi Zera not being sure about a hanhaga of Rabbi Avohu, so now we have another suffix Rabbi Zera has about Rabbi Avohu's bathing practices. So it fits, this story fits very nicely with the last one. Vam Rabbi Zera. Anach azisei Rabbi Avohu she'niach yodav keneged panav shalmata, that I saw that when Rabbi Avohu went to bathe in the river, he covered his private parts with his hands. V'lo yadani inaga ilo naga, but I don't know if he was touching himself in that area or he wasn't touching himself. So pshita d'lo naga, says the Gemara, well, we know it has to be that he could not have been touching. D'tanya Reb Lazar Omer, because Reb Lazar holds kola ochiz ba'amo mashtin kilu mevi ma'bala olam, that if a person, when he urinates, holds on to his private parts, it's as if he's bringing bringing a mabul into the world. Why is it as if he's bringing a mabul into the world? What does it have to do with the mabul? So Rashi says, shemischamim ubali dekeri, because the concern is that he's going to be aroused and it's going to lead him to be motzi zera levatala, vizekil kulo shel dar hamabul. And that exactly, that exact issue was the issue of the dar hamabul, that motzim shikva zera levatala. There were motzi zera levatala, dechsiv, ki hishchis kolbasar. Hishchis kolbasar, we assume, relates to being mashchizera. So that's why it's ki ilu mevi mabuli olam. So what do we bring in raya? That it can't be that Rabbi Avohu would touch his private area, because Rabbi Lazar holds that when you're ochiz ba mashin, it's if you bring mabuli olam. Now, whenever you see Rabbi Lazar Omer, you always have to question, good, Rabbi Lazar holds that way. Is there anyone that argues? So Tos points out, if you see the sugya nida daf yud gimel, there is somebody that argues. The Rabbanan argue in Rabbi Lazar. The Rabbanan say that it's mutter to be ochiz ba ama umashtin. So why are we bringing a raya that it must be that Rabbi Avohu did not touch himself in that area because Rabbi Elazar holds you're not allowed to? The Rabbanan holds you are allowed to. We should bring a raya from the Rabbanan. Generally speaking, we would pass like the Rabbanan, we would think. So Tosfos points out, the Alpha of the Rabbanan pligale visharu perakol yad lo sharu elamushum mamzerus shlo yirik kros shivcha v'yotzi laz albanav shem mamzerim. When are the Rabbanan matir? The Rabbanan are matir when a person is urinating, because when a person is urinating, if he's not ochiz ba'ama, so we're afraid it's going to just trickle out, and then someone else is going to see and think that he's across shivcha. He's going to think that he's unable to have children, and they're going to start spreading rumors about his children, and they're going to start saying that they're going to be motzilas, that his children must all be mamzerim, because this man is unable to father a child. So out of that concern, the rabbanu won't aser being ochiz ba'ama. But just generally speaking, when there's no such concern of being motzilas, when you're just going to bathe, so even the Rabbanan would be moda that it would be usher to be ochez ba'ama. So that's why the Gemara makes the assumption that we can ask the kasha on Rabbi Avohu from Rabbi Eliezer, because even the Rabbanan to Rabbi Eliezer would be moda in this context that it would be usher. So Amar Abaye says, no, it's not a good raya. Over here, when he goes to bathe, it may still be mutter to be ochiz ba'ama. Why? Asu'ua kubaleshes. We treat this like a case where you have soldiers that come in and scare all the townspeople. What does that have to do with anything? Let's see. Ditnan. Baleshes shenichnas al-ir b'shash shalom. When you have soldiers coming in during a time of peace, chavios psuchos asuros. Any open barrels of wine that you have, that you left, are going to be usher, because you have to assume that these soldiers came and were menasech your yayin. They rampaged through the whole town, so it could be they were menasech your yayin. So if you have an open bottle of wine, assume the worst. Stumos mutaros. You have a closed bottle of wine, a closed barrel of wine, that's going to be mutter, because they weren't menasech and it's still sealed. Bishas mulchama, but if they come in at a time of war, elu ve'elu mutaros, then even your open bottles of wine are mutter. L'fishein p'nai l'nasech, because we assume that they don't have time to be menasech liayin, that they're too busy, they're too caught up in the war effort to possibly be menasech. Alma, what do we see from there? Kivan de bi'isi lo menaschi, that when they're afraid and they have anxiety, they're not going to have time to be menasech, they're not going to be focused enough to be menasech. So similarly over here, hachanami kivan de ba'is lo nasi lirhurei. So over here also, when the guy is going to the river to bathe, we assume that since there's a certain amount of fear associated with going into the river, even if he touches, if he's ochiz ba'am, he's not going to have hirhurim, because the fear will take away any sense of hirhur. V'hacha mai biasusa. What sort of fear is there when you go to take a bath? Why would that fear remove hirhur? And so gemara biasusa de nahara. So there's the fear of the river itself. So that's why he was able to be ochiz ba'ama, and therefore we cannot bring a proof at all from Rabbi Eliezer that Rabbi Avohu must have not been touching himself. No, he could have been touching, and it's not a problem of Yerhurim anyway, because he has that fear. Now, a couple of things. The Gemara Meseches Ksuvos and Daf Chav Zayin and in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin asks, from the fact that we say Ein Panay L'Nasech, the Gemara says, wait a second. If troops come into town and they start going through the whole town and terrorizing people, so you have the right to assume that any Kohanos that are in that town are psulos, that they were probably raped by these men. And we don't say, ein panai livol, that they didn't have time, they didn't have the focus to do it. So the Gemara says, wait a second, I thought, b'shas melchama, we assume ein panai lenaseich. So the Gemara over there asks, why don't we say ein panai livol? The Gemara answers, because livol yesh panai lenaseich ein panai. That to practice their religious worship, that they don't have time for. But to engage their yetzer hara, hirurim and averos, the averu, the yetzer hara for arayos, to engage that yetzer hara, that they have plenty of time for. But over here we say that maharher, even to be maharher, the fear will take away his desire to be maharher also. Not only to be menasseh, we use it in our context about him touching himself when he goes down to bathe. So the obvious answer, l'chora, would be that there's a big difference between the yetzer hara and the hirhur and the self-control of troops that are in battle and of holy amora when he goes to bathe. That even though the soldiers are not going to be able to control themselves because they live a chaye hefkerus, and they have even the fear of war is not going to enable them to overcome the yetzer hara. And adaraba, one could also argue that it's that when it comes to that particular yetzer hara, when people are fighting a war, that yetzer hara gets stronger, it doesn't get weaker. Meaning that kind of fear is not the kind of fear that's going to remove the yetzer hara for arayos, like we find by Neish Sifas Tawar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that when a man is fighting a war, there's a certain level of testosterone that kicks in that causes that yetzer hara to get worse, not better, as opposed to the kind of fear that a person has, not because he's busy fighting a war, but because he's going to the river, that kind of fear would remove the yetzer hara for arayos. Another point of here, Rashi, we said, ein panai lenaseich, when they come into town, they don't have panai, they don't have time to do nisuch. Rashi in Avodah Zarah and Davayin Aleph says that the Yetzer Hara of Nisuch is not going to be strong for them because they're Tarud Bil Mechama. In the Tshuvas HaRosh, in Klal Yates, the Shar Mitzvah Balacha quotes, says if a Jew leaves his house and there's wine in the window and the wine is not closed, and a guy brings a Zona into that house and he closes the door, and then afterwards the Jew comes back into the house and he finds the wine exactly where he left it, Tshuvas HaRosh says, it's unbelievable the Shaila is an adult, but the Tshuvas HaRosh says, the Yayin is mutter. You don't have to be choshesh that maybe he was a shich shech bo a guy, maybe he shook the wine or he moved it, because Ba'avidasi tarid, he was busy doing what he was doing. He brought a zona in, and we assume that Yetzer Hara is much stronger. So the Torah uses the Lashon, the Torah in Yerodea, when it quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh, and some Kuf Chavtes, uses the Lashon of our Gemara, that ain panai lenaseich, that he didn't have the focus to be menasech. The Aragra says, lenasech ein panai, because he's tarud, so anytime a person is tarud, we assume, so the tarud doesn't only have to be with fear, the tarud could be with anything else that's going to dominate his desires, that's going to overcome his, that's going to be stronger than the desire to be menasech. That also is considered to be a tirda in this context. There is a comment of the Meloa Roim, that Asua Kiboleshes, he says, why don't we just answer very simply? We asked this Kasha, how could Rabbi, obviously Rabbi Avohu could not have been touching himself, because otherwise, because it's Asur to do so, because it's a Kalaochis Ba'ama. Why don't we just answer that he was married? In Mesechus Nidah, in Perakal Yad, we say that if someone is married, then it's going to be mutter. So Beis Yosef writes in Simon Gimel, you see that it must be that Rabbi Avohu doesn't hold that Nasui mutter, that someone who's married is mutter. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't have had this whole kash over here. We would have had a very simple answer that he was married. Or, says Melorahim, you could say that it's pshita that it's mutter to touch if he was married. So why would Rabbi Zeri even have a suffix in the first place if he was if he did touch or didn't touch? Right? He was mesupik whether Rabbi Avohu was machmir al atzmo. Well, my nafkamina for us if he was machmir al atzmo. He's a special kadosh person, so he could be machmir on himself. So why would Rabbi Zeri even be contemplating this issue if we were talking about the fact that he was married? So it must be that you don't have the heter of nasui. What does it mean you don't have the heter of nasui? It doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't married. He could have been married, but ein ishto imo or ishto nida. As long as he doesn't have an outlet for that yetzer hara, then being married isn't going to isn't going able to help him. That's what the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Gimel. So if being that being married itself isn't the heter, it's being married with the outlet for his yetzer hara that's going to be the heter. Okay, so the Gemara says Vayter. Now, but wait a second, we still have another problem with the possibility that he was naga. Eini v'amr Rabbi Abba amr Rav Huna amr Rav. Back in the Gemara, kol maniach yadav kineged panav shalmata kilu kofer bebriso shel Avraham Avinu. That if a person tries to cover his private area, it looks like he's embarrassed about the fact that he has a bris milah. So forget about the hirhurim element of it. What about the religious element that it makes it look like he's embarrassed about the bris milah? So says Mar lo kasha. That's not a kasha at all. That it looks like he's embarrassed about the bris milah. Hakinachis hakisalik. When he's going down into the river where no one could see the bris milah anyway. So then it looks like when it's not a tznius issue, then it looks like he's embarrassed about the bris milah. When he's coming out where it's a tznius issue, so then it doesn't then it doesn't look like he's being covered bris milah. Ravina was just trying to cover himself up. He had the Rava Shachti. Rava would always bend down. Rabbi Zera Zakif. Rabbi Zera would walk upright. Rabban de Beravashi kika nachsi zakvi kika salki shachi. The Rabban de Beravashi, when they would go into the water, they would bend down, they would walk straight up. When they would come out, they would bend down, because then they were facing the Yam, they were facing the people, they were facing outside, and therefore there's more of a... There's more of a tznius concern, so they would dafka bend down. In the Omer HaShichcha, in the back of the Gemara, there's a sefer called Omer HaShichcha, Omer with an Aleph, of all the things that are forgotten by later poskim. He tries to collect the different halachos that the Gemara says that for some reason later poskim forget. So he says, "Mitzvah litein tam hagun lamish mitu kol gedolei arishonim v'achronim asharazu leman dor achron heichlis nai kishiyar delitpol sham." He says, "I don't know why this isn't mentioned anywhere about the difference between going into the river, going out of the river. Mitzvah to give a reason why the Rishonim and Achronim don't mention anything. I don't know. Just saw that. I don't know what the reason might be." Next, Rabbi Zeira Ava Kamishtamit mit Rabbi Yehuda. Another story, not directly. Doesn't start out about a bathhouse, but it gets to be relating to a bathhouse. Rabbi Zeira is trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda to buy the Mesa Klara di Yisrael, because Rabbi Zeira wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and Dom Rabbi Yehuda kalol mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael over Basay, and he knows that Rabbi Yehuda held that anyone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is in violation of an Asay. So he thought Rabbi Yehuda would be gozer on him that he has to stay, that he's not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Melachim that Kashem Sha'asu Lates Meretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz Kach Asu Lates Mibavel L'Shar Ha'aretzos. That just like you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to go from Bavel to other Ha'aretzos. What does it mean, other Ha'aretzos? Says the Kesef Mishnah, even Eretz Yisrael. You're not even allowed to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Based on this idea of Rabbi Yehuda, the Me'iri and Ksuvah, Staf Kufir Aleph, at the end of Ksuvah, where you have all the Eretz Yisrael, I got it to about how special Eretz Yisrael is, how great Eretz Yisrael is, how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone who lives in Chutz La'aretz, Kilei Lo Aloka, right? All of those Gemaras are at the very end of Maseches Ksuvah. So the Me'iri over there says, just like you're not allowed to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so too you're not allowed to go from Bavel to Shaar Ratzos. Why? Because kol makom shechachma v'yiras chet mitzuyin sham, dino ke'eretz Yisrael. When you have a community of chachma and yiras chet, a community that's built on Torah, then it has a din of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, kol ador b'bavel, ki ilu dar b'eretz Yisrael, that when you live in Bavel, it's as if you live in Eretz Yisrael, because that's where the communities of Chachma and Yiras Chet were. Now, and that's part of what's special about Eretz Yisrael in the first place. That's primarily what's so special about Eretz Yisrael in the first place. Rabbi Zera was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. He knew that Rabbi Yehuda would not want him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Shenemer Bavel Yuvau V'Shama Yiyu. Pasuk after all says, go to Bavel and you should be there. That's where you're supposed to be. So says Rashi, wait a second. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda had a good reason not to want him to go to Pasuk. You're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. So what was Rabbi Zera thinking? Why was he allowed to make Aliyah in the first place? So Rashi points out, Rabbi Zera Amar Lachai Krabba Klei Sharis Ksiv. Now that Pasuk is not about people. It's about the Klei Sharis. That the Klei Sharis were exiled and that they're going to stay there until the building of the Third Beis HaMikdash. But for us, for people to go to Bavel, to go to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, that Rabbi Zera held is not a problem. He disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. But Amar, before going to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zera said, Ezel ve'ashram minei milsa ve'aisi ve'esek. Let me at least go listen in to Rabbi Yehuda's shir. Let me hear what he's talking about, so at least I'll have some of his Torah before I head off. So Azal Ashkei Dekai Be'bani. He went to visit Rabbi Yehuda, and he saw Rabbi Yehuda was in the bathhouse. Ve'kamer le'le shamen. He heard Rabbi Yehuda tell his shamish, Havil li neser, pass me the soap. Havil li masrek, give me the comb. And then he switched into from Hebrew into Aramaic, and he advised people that were there to open up their mouths so that the hevel, the steam, the heat of their bodies would escape in the bathhouse. And he also told them to drink from the waters of the bathhouse. So Amar, Rabbi Zera, said to himself, wow, I just learned so much. Had I only come just to hear the advice that Rabbi Yehuda was dispensing in the bathhouse, it would have been, it's all worth it. So the first two statements, we understand what the great chiddush was. When he said pass the soap, when he said pass the comb, I understand what the chiddush is. What's the chiddush? That if you're speaking about mundane matters in a bathhouse, you're allowed to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. So the first two things were mundane matters. He said it in Lashon HaKodesh. That's mutter. That's a big chiddush. What about the next two things he said? Pischu pumeichu vafiku havla. So I understand the third thing he said also is very important, because he said open your mouth and allow the hevel to escape. Kiddushmuel. Nami kiddushmuel. Da'amar shmuel. Havla mapik havla. That the steam of the bathhouse will cause the heat from one's body to escape. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. Ela ishtu mayad bebani may mal yusa. But when he told him to drink the waters of the bathhouse, what's that? What's the great chachma in being told to drink the waters of the bathhouse? Tanya, so the Gemara says, well, we have a brisa that teaches us six things, and one of the six things is the therapeutic value of drinking the water of the bathhouse. So that's why we quote this whole brisa that teaches us five other things in addition, but one of them is going to be about the therapeutic value of drinking the water in the bathhouse, and that was the great chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda had, that it has this great therapeutic value. Number one, if a person eats without drinking, his eating is like blood, and that is going to cause him some serious stomach ailments. Now, when a person eats a meal, you should drink together with the meal as well. Number two, that if a person eats and doesn't walk dalaramos, so his eating is going to be, is not going to be digested properly, and it's going to cause bad breath. Number three, hanitzrach l'nekava va'achal, if a person has to go to the bathroom and he eats at the time that he has to go to the bathroom, it's like an oven that's heated up on its ashes, and it's a tchilas reach zuama. It's also going to cause a very bad breath, meaning it's not good. It's not a healthy thing to do. Number four, and this is the one that we're interested in, rachatz b'chamin v'lo shasamehen. If he bathes in hot water and he does not drink from those waters, it's like an oven that you heat up from the outside but don't heat up from the inside, which is completely ineffective. You need the oven to be heated up from the inside in order for it to be able to do anything. So the bath, as much as a bath is supposed to be something that's healthy for a person, it's not going to be healthy for the person if he doesn't drink from some of the hot waters. Number five, rachatz b'chamin v'lo nishtatif b'tzonein. If a person bathes in warm water and then doesn't rinse himself in cool water, it's like iron that was put into a fire and was not then purged in cold water. That after putting it into a fire, you put it in something cold and it hardens the iron. So it's much better, makes it much stronger. So when a person takes a bath also in hot water, to make it much stronger, much more effective, it should be followed by cold water. And the sixth thing, rachatz v'losach, if a person bathes but then doesn't anoint himself with oil, it's like water on top of a barrel. Rashi says al shulav utstad of shem v'nachasam l'tocho, that don't actually go into the barrel, meaning the benefits of the bath are going to be lost on the person. But we quoted all this to show that the final thing that Rabbi Yehuda said in the bathhouse is actually a chiddush that we see in the brisa, that a person should drink, that it's healthy to drink from the waters in which he bathes. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara that goes Yaivitz has 2 points over here. Number one, 20 says that it has to be lomi mayim shekvar rachatz behem el ratzalom rachamin kol shehein. Says it has to be that when we say that you're supposed to drink from the waters, it doesn't mean the waters that you've already bathed in, because that's disgusting. Rather, it should be from other hot water that you should drink from, not after you've already bathed in it. And when I say it's disgusting, I'm not just using an expression. He refers to Gemara and Hor Yosef Gimel Beis that this is a violation of bal tishaktu, that is the isser of being disgusting, to drink from the water that he's already bathed in. However, he has a second point as well. Second point is tzaruch iyun heich shasasham. How are you allowed to drink there? You're not allowed to make a bracha there. You're naked in the bathhouse, and everyone else is also. So how are you allowed to make a bracha? You're not allowed to make a bracha in front of Erva. It's a dirty place. So how are you allowed to drink? So he says, Dilma lo chashiva shtia el kamanda chankase umtsa. Maybe this is the kind of drinking that would not require a bracha. He says, maybe this is like if a person is choking and they need some water to clear their throat so they don't choke. Maybe it's that kind of drinking where you wouldn't have to make a bracha on that kind of drinking. Since it's purely for therapeutic purposes and it's not for hana'as shtia, so maybe it would not require a bracha, and maybe that's the answer. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. Rashi in the Sefer's Gittin on Daf Samach Tesam Beis writes that harochitz mecham shos mehen veim refua lo. That the point is that it's a refua, meaning the and if it's a refua, it could be that that's why you wouldn't make a bracha because it's considered to be a complete refua. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Deos Halachah Yud Zayin says v'lo yishta mayim karim b'tseisom min amerchatz ve'ein sarach lomar shelo yishta b'merchatz. Don't drink cold water when you leave the merchatz, and ein sarach lomar that you shouldn't drink in the merchatz. Very strange. We have a beferish of Gemara that you're supposed to drink in the merchatz, but the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that he doesn't think it's healthy. A person should not drink. Maybe he's only referring to mayim karim, to cold water, but hot water would be different. But it's not to drink in the merchatz. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden's point, anyway, is the key over here that really you're not allowed to make a bracha when you're in the base of merchatz. There are certain areas you're not allowed to make a bracha in front of Erva. You're not allowed to make a bracha when there's a reyach ra. You're not allowed to make a bracha. That was one of the hurricane shadows. I was trying to put together yesterday a list of all the hurricane shadows. I spoke on Shabbos at Shal Shudas about some of the more popular hurricane shadows I had. But one of the ones that I had was about, are you allowed to make a bracha in your house when your house is full of sewage water in the basement? The whole place stinks. So are you allowed to make a bracha in your house? Pashtos? No. If it really smells, then a place that has a reyach ra, so pashtos, you're not allowed to make a bracha. That shayla is about tefilas kelim in your basement and all sorts of interesting questions. Okay, so says the Mishnah, maliar hagaruf. If you have a certain type of kli, a maliar that's it's like a hot cup, except the way it retains the heat is it has a space in the walls of the kli where you could fill it with hot coals. It's like those freezer cups that there's a space where the water becomes frozen, so they have a space where you put hot coals in order for it to keep the drink hot. So if you remove the coals, shosnei menu b'Shabbos, you're allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. Rashi says, even though it's huchmu k'tzas machmas hakli, it's not mosif hevel, and that's why you're allowed to drink from it. Tosfos says, mosif hevel, what does this have to do with hatmana? We're not asking whether you're allowed to put something in it before Shabbos, the davara mosif hevel, hatmana davara mosif hevel. That's not the issue over here. Over here we're talking about, it was in it, are you allowed to drink from it? It's a totally different issue. Tosfos says, like, four or five different kashas on Rashi, and therefore he says, a totally different pshat. The point is that you mix wine in there with the hot water. So we're saying that you're allowed to drink from it because the water is not hot enough to cook the wine. It's not a violation of bishul. Nothing to do with mosif hevel, not mosif hevel. Antichi, another type of kli, the Mishnah says, afal pisha grufa ein shosnei mena. Even if you do remove the coals, you're not allowed to drink from an antichi, because apparently it has a more intense heat. Seichidami malir hagaruf. What does it mean, the malir hagaruf? This first type of kli where you remove the coals. So tana ma'imi bifnim v'gachalim b'chutz. The water's on the inside and the coals are on the outside. Antichi, how does an antichi look? This more intense heat Kli. So two opinions. Rabba Amar Bekiri, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Bedudi. That it's a machlokes. Rabba holds it's like a maliar, except it gets much hotter because the coal's cooking it all week. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak holds that the compartment for the coals is on the bottom of the antichi, and it won't be quite as hot as Rabba's version of the antichi. So that's what the Gemara points out. Mandir Bedudi Kol Shekein Bekiri. If you say Bedudi, then for sure Bekiri. Mandir Bekiri of Bedudi Lo. I mean, the point is, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's version of what an antichi is not as hot as Rabba's version of what an antichi is. Tani Kavasid Rav Nachman, antichi af pishar grufa ketuma, ain trust in mena, mepreshen chushasa mechamamasa. That the antichi, even though you remove the coals, and or you cover the coals, still can't drink from it, because the metal element of it will still heat it up. The residual heat is still going to heat it up. That's the question, what nechushasa means. I just translate it like copper. But Rashi has what to say about that he's not so sure that's what it means. Okay, Mishnah. Hamechem shepinahu. If you have a hot kli, a hot pot of food that you remove it, lo yitein l'tocho tzonin b'shvil sheichanu. So if you remove it from the fire, you shouldn't put cold water there, cold food in there to warm up. But you're allowed to put it in there or into a kos in order to make it lukewarm. Not to make it hot, but in order to hafshiran, in order to make it lukewarm. Now the Mishnah itself is very unclear what in the world it means. So the exact case of the Mishnah is the machlokas amaraim in the Gemara. We have two deus in the Gemara, Rav Ada Bar Masna and Abaye, just in terms of what the case of the Mishnah is. What's the Mishnah even talking about? So Maika Amar, what's the Mishnah talking about? Amar Rav Ada Bar Masna, Hachi Kamar. Rav Ada Bar Masna says, the way to read the Mishnah is like this: Hamechem shepinu mimenu mayim chamin lo yitein l'tocha mayim watum kedei sheichamu. Mishnah is speaking about a hot kettle whose contents have been completely emptied, so it's mutter to add a lot of cold water because the heat of the pot is not going to cook the water anyway. So if you have a mechem shepinu mimenu mayim chamin, you took out all the hot water. Don't put mayim watim, a little bit of water kedei sheichamu, because that little bit of water will get really hot, will get cooked by the kettle. Aval no sin tocha mayim rubim kedei lafshirim. But you can put in a lot of cold water, because if you put in a lot of cold water, it's not going to get heated by the kettle, it's not going to get cooked, it's just going to become lukewarm. And that's why it's permissible. Valo mitzari, if asking Mar, but wait a second, forget about the fact that you're not cooking the water, but isn't it being mitzari for the kli? If you have a metal kli that gets very hot, and then you immediately expose it to cold water, so it makes the kli harder. And isn't that a problem, that it's being mitzari for the kli? So what? What does that mean? What the isra is that? So Rashi seems to say it's a violation of Makkah B'Patish. The Rambam seems to assume in Hilch Shabbos Perikid Beis Halacha Beis that it's an isra of Mechabe, that when it's red hot, when the kli is boiling out, and then you immediately, you put the cold water on it, and it makes it, so that's a violation of Mechabe, the Rambam understands. But either way, it's some sort of isra. So it says, Rabbi Shimon here, we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shein Meskavin Mutter, who holds that a Davar Shein Meskavin is Mutter, and your Kavana over here is not to be mitzarif the kli, your kavanah is to warm up the water, so it's davar shein miskaving. Fractosos, but isn't it a psik reshe that it's going to be mitzarif the kli when you put cold water? So Tos says, yeah, we have to be speaking b'chei agavna that it's not a psik reshe. That's what you have to say. Rabban says, what do you mean speaking b'chei agavna? It's not a psik reshe. If it was hot and then it's cold, it's a psik reshe. So what kind of b'chei agavna? So the Rabban says, the Rabban in the Melchamel says, no, we're talking about where maybe the kli was already mitzurif beforehand. Maybe it already was hardened by some previous process, and therefore you're not being mitzayif any further. You just don't know. You don't know the history of the kli. So the Rabban seems to be making a comment about a very large sugya in Hilchos Shabbos called Safek Psik Reshe. Meaning, is it a Psik Reshe that you're going to be mitzayif the kli? Yes. Presuming that the history of the kli was that no one was ever mitzayif it before. You don't know the history. It's a little bit different than a Davar Shein Meskavim. Davar Shein Meskavim is you're not sure about the effects of your action. Over here, you know exactly what effects these actions have. It's just based on what the mitzias is, what the past mitzias is. So the Ramban seems to be assuming that would have a din of a Davar Shein Meskavim. The son of Pesach Reshe would have a din of a Davar Shein Meskavim. Maskevla Abaye says, wait a second. Midi Mechem Shapina Mimenu Mayim Katani. Does it say that if you have a hot pot that you remove the water from it. Mechem shepina hu katani. It says that you have a pot that you removed it. So you sure the case of the Mishnah is that you took a pot of water and you removed all the water from it and then you put new water in it? No, it doesn't sound like that. Elam Rabbi Abai says I have a different pshat in the Mishnah. Hachi kamer hamechem shepina hu v'yesh b'mayim chamin lo yitan l'tochem mayim watim b'shvil sheyichamu. That if you have a full pot of hot water that you just took off the fire, don't put a little bit of cold water in it because it's going to be cooking the cold water. But if you pour in a ton of cold water all at one time, that's okay because then it's just going to make the water lukewarm. But in your case, Abaye says, in your case where you removed the hot water entirely from the pot, then you can't put any cold water in it. Because that's going to be mitzarif the kli. It's going to harden the metal. It's going to be makabepatish. And we're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Yudah says, Abaye, who holds the davar sheinu miskaven, is aser. Tosfos raises the question, but wait a second. Abaye generally holds like Rabbi Shimon that a davar sheinu miskaven is mutter, because we said Rabba always held kol nili demar avid karav lebar mehani tlas, and one of the things that Rabba always held like Rabbi Shimon was davar sheinu miskaven, and Abaye was the Talmud of Rabba, so mistama Abaye also held like Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfos says, yeah, he held like Rabbi Shimon, but he held that the pshat in our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, that the author of our Mishnah was like Rabbi Yehuda because of this kasha of the lashon of kol shepinahu versus pinah mimenu. Okay, we'll pick up from there, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.